who are here today. Again, I personally thank you and welcome. As Mr. Council has already done, that's the intention. I hope to be here for these four forthcoming nights and to take a look at some principles in the Old Testament and the Book of Ruth. And it's a book that we not only use for edification for the Lord's people, but it's a great book that we use in the Gospel. So we take our readings tonight also from the Old Testament and commencing in the Book of Ruth and chapter 1. Ruth, chapter 1, and reading in verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. Verse 4. And they took their wives of the women of Moab, the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelled there under 10 years. And Malon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her brothers and law, and she made return from the country of Moab. For she appeared in the country of Moab, and that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters in law with her. Verse 16. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest I will go, and where thou lodgest I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Verse 18. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, she left speaking unto her, so they two went until they came. That's the end. Chapter 2, verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth from the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Verse 10. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him that is on the board, why have I found grace in thine eyes? The value to take knowledge of thee, seeing I am a stranger. That will maybe do for our reading there. And I'll read a little bit in chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 1. The title of verse is verse chapter 3 is interesting. Then she said, sit still, my daughter, until thy womb and the mother will fall, and the man will not be at rest until we have finished the thing this day. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there. Verse 9, and Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have brought all that was Elimelech and all that was Chilion and Malon for the hand of Elimelech. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Malon, have I purchased to be my wife to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day, and all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. Can I ask you to turn back to chapter 2? There is a verse I wanted to read in verse 12. Chapter 2 and verse 12. The Lord recompense thy work and the poor reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. That verse was spoken to Ruth by Boaz. Now, I have a brief for a reading. I know I abbreviated the reading and it has been broken, but I trust enough for what I want to say tonight. It's just over 125 years ago. It was the date, I think, the 29th of December, 1876, that in North America, there was a very serious train accident. The train was traveling from Pennsylvania to Chicago, and that it made its way across a bridge in Ohio. A vessel gave way, and the train plunged into a 60-foot ravine. It caught fire, and 100 of the travelers perished in that tragic accident. There was one particular man whose name has come down to us as precious for one particular reason, and he died on that occasion.
His name was Paul Philip Bliss. He actually survived the accident and escaped from the wreckage. But then he went back in to try and recover his wife. Not only did he not succeed in recovering her, but he lost his own life as well. A very promising life, 38 years of age. A man who has given to us hundreds of hymns. It was a strange thing that on that particular occasion his tongue was inadvertently placed on another plane. And then it was searched later. They recovered a piece of paper. And on that piece of paper were written the words that we have sung today. I will sing the wondrous story of my Savior's love to me. The great hymn of redemption that was written by the man Philip P. Bliss. He was also the author of the other hymn that we sang. Man of sorrows, what a name, for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners too. Indeed. Hallelujah. What a Savior. He was a man who wrote quite a number of hymns about the great subject of redemption. And of course that doesn't really surprise us, because there's hardly any other subject that has touched the hearts of sinners saved by grace as much as this great subject, redemption. It will not only be the song of earth, but according to the Bible, we are given a picture of the great choir of heaven. And the content of the everlasting song will be something like this. As they look upon the person of the Lord Jesus, they will sing concerning him, Thou art worth it, for thou hast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. You see, redemption, my dear friend, is a song. And redemption is a story. And it is a story that fills the Bible. And a story that will fill glory. And I hope that redemption is also the subject that will have a prominent place in our consideration in this gospel meeting. Actually, the Old Testament book of Ruth is one of those books that gives to us a very, very precious illustration of God's great principle of redemption. It's an interesting thing that has been mentioned many, many times. There are only two books in the Bible that carry the name of a woman. This book and the very parallel book of Esther. The two books sit comfortably together in the sense that in the book of Ruth we have the story of a Gentile girl who becomes united in marriage to a Jewish nobleman. In the book of Esther we have the story of a Jewish girl who becomes united in marriage to a Gentile prince. So that the two books are a mirror image. One follows the reverse of the other. The book of Ruth tells us how a person can be brought in, because this lady was a lady from a foreign country and from a foreign nation, and she was brought in amongst the people of God. Tells us how a person can be brought in. The book of Esther is a story of a girl who had left her own land and gone away to a foreign land. And amidst all the changing circumstances of life in that strange land, she was marvelously preserved by the hand of God. You see, we need to know both. It's good to know that not only is God able to save at the beginning, but blessed be his name, he is able to keep to the very end. And if the book of Ruth tells me about one, the book of Esther, it certainly tells me about the other. Now let us think about this particular lady tonight and some of the experiences. Actually, would you ever think, what if I joined the royal family? How is very unique. put together Sir Joseph when he asked me, did I want anything put in the papers? I was very nearly put together to put that down today. How to join the Royal Family? The only thing that gave me a little bit of reserve is this. The Royal Family of Windsor, and if you are a royal as well, you have my full apologies just now, but the Royal House of Windsor is lost to that family. That's not too bad. Once you go there, to tell you the truth, there's such a bunch that I wouldn't really want to be a bunch. With all respect to her values. But I do want to speak in this gospel meeting tonight in Wallace Avenue. How to join the royal family, not the royal house of Windsor. But you said, it'd be great if you could get into the royal family of heaven. Because that's the problem. This girl didn't only get in, but she was brought in so magnificently that she was brought in and given a link with the royal lady. No, I'm a member of the royal family. Did you not do that? You're the crown prince of heaven, my Savior. And the coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords is my Lord. Can I tell you the nature of it? I'm proud to be a Christian. Associated with the glorious Christ in the royal family of heaven. I hope that you'll be interested, because the only little bit of encouragement I can give you is this, that you can get in the same way as I can. And I tell you another little thing. If they let me in, you can be sure my dear friend will let you in. And I went in the same way as this girl got in, so that we're going to look at her story and the various stages of it and see how the thing all pieced together. Until at last, she became linked with royal wealth. And her fortune was made for the everlasting future. And the first thing that I do want to say about this particular lady, this girl, she started off late with an awful lot of debt. Now, at none of this, she couldn't be blamed for it. But through no fault of her own whatsoever, it just so happened that she was born into about the worst breed you could think of. She didn't choose it. She didn't apply for it. But one day, there was a little girl born into this world. They selected for her the lovely name of Ruth. But you know, she was born as a Moabite. Now, you may not know it. And I wouldn't want to go into all the details tonight in the meeting, because to tell you the truth, they're very murky details. But you can, in the Bible, the Moabites are a very bad class. You know, you have Canaanites, and you have Hittites, and you have Hittites, and Amorites, and all kinds of things. But about the worst type of all, a Moabite. And it's a great encouragement. It's a thrill to my heart. And I think it should be an encouragement to everybody in this meeting, and an encouragement to all who spread the gospel, that God has taken a girl from about the worst. And He has put her at the very pinnacle of distinction and honor. And if He could take a girl from there and put her up there, my dear friend, He could do that with anyone else. You know what God has done? He has taken some of the worst samples, so that He has left the race of men without excuse. When I get to heaven, I'm going to try and find this in the earth. Ruth the Moabitess. And then I'll go down the lane a little bit, and I'll have to go in too long until I cover another character, and she's Rahab, the Canaanite harlot. And then I'll go on around a little bit, and I'll see her for man, and I'll see he's Zacchaeus a public, and a chief public. And then I'll go on up to another one, and he's Saul of Tarsus, the first and the most cruel persecutor. And I tell you, you know what God is going to do to you? He's going to have heaven spangled with trophies of marvelous grace. See, you can be saved tonight, because if God can save the likes of these Rahab and Ruth and Zacchaeus and Saul of Tarsus, if God has saved such as those, he can save you in this gospel meeting. Now she had this dreadful beginning. Actually, I have to make an honest confession today. I myself belong to a very bad breed. Now I'm not talking about the Gilead, they're not the finest people you could meet. I wouldn't think that a family around here could make a patch for them. But having said that, and having defended even the honor of the Gilead name, I have to before Almighty God bow my head in an embarrassment and tell you that I belong to a wretched family. And my connections, my connections, dear friend, are so bad. That I shouldn't even have seen the gate of heaven, never mind get inside.
My connections are dreadful!
And before you say too much, then I want to tell you that your connections are dreadful. You see, every one of us in this meeting, we were born with connections of Adam. The fallen head, and because of our family connections and our human history, I think the things are bad. And it's only the wondrous grace of God can ever salvage anything or anyone from such a wreck.
Oh, how amazing God's compassion that these worms so vile should prove this stupendous gift of heaven.
This unmeasured wealth of love, wondrous grace, it reaches me.
So here a girl, and despite the race into which she was born, redeeming grace has brought her into the royal line.
No, it wasn't her fault. It's not our fault, but it's a fact. And we have to get her. One day, in the area where this girl lived, there was a new family moved in. She'd never seen him before. Never heard of him. She had no idea why they had him. But they came. They had packed their bags and they had left their own country. They had traveled about 50 miles and they came to live in her district. Just as things go. Presumably, over a period of time, she became friendly with this family, and they became friendly with the two boys. And she actually married one of the boys. Now, I'll tell you what that did. That was very important. That was a big movement in her experience. Now, because she married one of these boys, to use New Testament language, that didn't mean that she was saved. But I'll tell you what it did make it. She got to know people, neighbors who came to live beside her, and those neighbors had a knowledge of the true God. And she was born in a home that was as dark as cotton cups. They just lived in dreadful idolatry, those old women, and they knew nothing about the true God of Israel. But these new neighbors that came, and this boy who became her husband and her mother-in-law was a woman who knew God. You know, that, I think it's a great thing. To consider in human life what we say in one of our hymns.
God moves in a mysterious way. And wonders do not follow.
Now that was a big thing. Maybe I'm speaking to somebody here today, and you knew nothing about the gospel until
you got married.
And you never married a man, he may not have been saved, but at least he knew the name of the saved. Maybe you knew nothing about the gospel until a man came to work beside you in the factory. And from that man who came, you heard things about the gospel that you never heard before. You know, I think you've been as marvelous to look upon the texture of life and to see how God brings people into contact with others. Now the race that she belonged to was a natural race for these new relations that she made a link with. It opened up to her a whole new world. It's a great thing for a man. I'm not talking this time about a person actually getting saved. But it's a great thing for a person to come into contact with those who know about Christianity and the joy of Christianity and the wonder of forgiveness. Mind you, it's a big world. I'm not one of the insiders. Leave it. Neither my father nor my mother was saved when they were married. Thankfully, both of them got saved just before I was born. And I can't go in tonight just to tell you all about the story, but I have the impression that the gospel ever touched our family. Because it put us in contact with the great privilege. You people in this meeting who are not saved, you have maybe somebody sitting beside you on the way to heaven. You have maybe somebody, and that person mentioned your name in prayer every day. I remember that doesn't mean that you get saved. But I'll tell you what it does mean. It means, dear friend, that you need to see it and you have no leg to stand on. Because God is going to be rubbing against it. And you wouldn't take it. Sadly, you get so close to not get in. Now this year, well then, don't worry about it. One day, they got you. And this year, Ruth, I don't know whether her husband died after that. Because life is not always picnic stuff, and there were sad days. But anyway, her mother-in-law, she still kept friendly with her mother-in-law even after the death of her husband. And one day, her mother-in-law got the news that the Lord had visited his people way back up on the land of Palestine, and he had given them bread. The Lord had visited his people. Imagine, just imagine this. Imagine this for a second. A group of people on earth who could have described as his people. And when this news thundered through away down into the land of Moab, that up in Palestine there was a people who had been specially blessed by the Lord. I think Ruth said, I'm going to go. She said, if ever it comes, if ever I can manage it, she said, I'm trying to get amongst that people, because they are the people. They are the people. You may think your friend is a little bit impudent of me to say it, but I am going to say it. You know, we are the people. We are the people. I'm not just talking about the people who come to this place. I'm talking about the people who have been blessed by the Lord. We are the people. We have. You're just talking about what they have out there. And they have some of the things right around this world and around that world. And they talk about what they have. Did I tell you my dear? But banners and bubbles is the only thing that's worth having. It's the blessing of the Lord. We are the people. Now if you're wise at all,
make this journey.
So say, I was once from my way, and I don't know about you.
They are the people.
We're the people for the future, a million years from now.
That all the people of that home were saved by grace, and all the other that side were saved by grace, with the stopping of the streets of gold, seeing the return of no time.
We are the people whom I would say from thy heart, come with us. Come with us.
And we will.
She got the news that the Lord has blessed his people, and when her mother-in-law said,
Ruth, I head back. And this girl said, I will go with you. Some lady said, have you any interest in moving?
They said, they got up out of the place where they were,
and they went on their way toward the land of the people.
I love to see individuals.
And they begin to make a move.
You know, there's a class of person that I see very much to them. It's a rather woman who comes to gospel meetings for years. And they would never blink an eye. And they would never drop their head. And they wouldn't even for a split second be disrespectful to the preacher. And they wouldn't ever dream of knocking the message. And they wouldn't hardly think of missing a meeting. They're always there.
You would never really make a
meeting. Tell me this. Oh, I see what you said. Would you be like this girl Ruth today? And you said, I have been around this thing for years, and I've heard about it, and I've sung about it, and I've thought about it this very night.
Whatever it is, the 20th of January 2015. This very night, I am going to make a meeting.
That's all right.
See, we're getting now to the real difficult thing. In this girl's story, I get to the very best part of the story. Because it's a problem. And I'm not making it bigger than it is. This problem that I'm going to come to now is a problem. Now, she's a Moabite. And I have told you, just the worst of the worst.
She's born that way. She wants to get in amongst the Lord's people. It's one thing to want it,
but it's another thing to get it. Now you can't smuggle it. I don't know what. She's a widow. She's very poor. Actually, this story does not tell us that she was so poor that she was required to work in the fields amongst the dead. She's a widow, so she can't buy herself it. And even if she had plenty, she wouldn't have been able to work.
You say, how is she going? She can't just walk it. She can't just say, I don't know why, but I've decided to come amongst this field. I'm just going to walk it.
They could find a man on the inside. He's willing to lie to
him. That's what we're about. You never get a man in.
A man, you mean a man in one of the things. A man in the land, and he's going, you're going to have him to spend his money to buy in a more of it?
Okay. I tell you, you've been the sweet part of the story.
It tells us of a man called Boaz.
And it tells us that he was a mighty man. And then it says he was a mighty man of wealth. Because this is not a box business. This is not a funny test thing.
And here's a man, and he has the word of God. He's a mighty man of wealth, and he's a very important man. He's one of the leaders inside.
But you say that's all right. He has the money, and he has the status.
I wonder what he has today.
We never even Luke said to the rules of this spirit, or she's just a poor widow Moabite, a beggar.
Oh, my tell you, dear friends, that's not a miracle.
He had the riches, and he had the readiness. You know what he told her one day?
He said, I'm going to buy you, isn't he?
And they came home and told her mother-in-law. You know what the mother-in-law said to her?
She said, sweet. She said, that's it. She said, just you sit still. You see that man? She said, I know that man. He's one of our connections. And he said, if that man has said he'd do this, he'd never stop.
I tell you, dear friend, he did something. Because the very next morning, he hit the cross on the neck, and the very next morning, the Bible tells us, he marched out to the gate. And there in the gate, out in the open, everybody could see it, it was public, he called the witness. 10 witnesses. It was legal, it was public, it was open, there was nothing under hand, there was nothing subterfuge, there was nothing deadly or dark.
So this man pulled all those heads, and I want all you men to listen.
He said, this day, he said, I am going to redeem everything that belongs to Luke. And the Elimelech and the whole connection of the company of the Sanhedrin. He said, I am going to redeem Luke the Moabite. Actually, there was another man that gave you good news. He said, who? A Moabite. But this man stood into the breach. And with merciful dignity, he put his hand in his pocket. And at the gate, he tore out the flesh. In the sight of 10 witnesses,
and the whole village knew that that man had paid the price for many, many more.
I tell you, I know some of these Christians are looking ahead of me, but that's all right, dear friends, because, you see, if we were ever going to get in, it had to be a Christian. Now, if you'll allow me to use the expression that I did use, that Christ had to be fed by someone on the inside. If the rest of us were ever going to get to heaven, there had to be someone on the inside come out of the gate.
By scripture, you need to tell you that it wasn't an angel came. Because an angel didn't have enough to give. My dear friend, the everlasting Son of God. And he didn't come to the gate of Bethlehem, but he went outside the gate of Jerusalem. When the blessed Savior died upon his cross, the precious blood which he shed has paid the price. That the most unworthy wretches of Adam's race. And they brought him to eternal glory.
There was one little thing in the book of Luke, and some of these men have read it much more closely than I have. And then, don't tell me the thing, and you've gone from Thursday next, so you have 4 days today. If you can read through this book, and if you can find anywhere where it tells me how much you can, I tell you, I'll tell you, you know, many days by that. And they make a lot of them. I couldn't tell you, he went to the gate, and for a Gentile outsider, he paid a price.
Even if they, it would only be a shadow that a price that was paid by the reality. I couldn't tell you how much he paid.
The price he paid, your friend, for the ransom of our soul, it was not a price that could be calculated in the current view of. And let Peter do the job for him. Peter said, ye were the name. Not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with that kind of blood. Some of you people don't say it today, the next day.
Can I ask you, just before we go a minute, Lord, will you take a breath?
Think again of what a Savior said.
The man who preaches the gospel in this country, and here he's been here, preached for years. And when he wanted to be saved, he struggled for a good life. And there was a verse of a hint that brought light to his troubled heart, soul, that night. Jesus, my Savior, on Calvary's plains, paid the great debt, and my soul is saved. Oh, it was wonderful, how good it was. Dying for me, for me. You dear people who have heard the story of Calvary, and the value of the precious blood of Christ, you have listened to it for years. I ask you a question. Was the price which he paid the gospel worth it?
And if it was enough, I want to ask you another question. Why would you hesitate another day?
If it
is enough, I'll tell you what to do.
Will you do this, guys? Won't you hear the proposal of what this man would do for her just the next night? It tells us that she fell in the spirit. And she exclaimed, she says, why have I found grace in thy life? That thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger. She was baffled, and she was bewildered, and she was overwhelmed that such a great man of wealth would ever be willing to look at me, to promise me, to do a work for me, to pay the price for me, to bring me in, that he would go outside the gate to bring me in to the royal. She said, it's more than I could really take it. It's something we sing a hymn. And I think part of the verse goes like this. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus and Mary, and wonder how he could love me, sinner. My goodness, that's what it is to get saved. Just you do. Don't get up from your seat now, not at all. But just you do in your heart and mind what this lady did with her mother, you love it in Christ. And you forgive me if I put another hymn, but it's really exactly what I want to say just now. There's a lovely hymn written about the story of the cross. And when you get to the final verse of the hymn, the author says words as follows. Oh, lovely sight. O heavenly Father, for sinful souls to save, I creep the sanctum of the world, and see them die for me. Oh, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for our sakes he became poor, that we do his covenant. Right there. My, if it was a great that this girl ever came into contact with the Redeemer, and that she reacted as she did, and she just bowed at his feet. But you say, how did it all work out? Well, I've already told you some of the secrets. One of the secrets, and one of the results of all this, of course, she was linked with the royal line. And that's a big thing. But I said enough about that. The royal line of heaven, that's a link that you could have tonight through faith in the Christ who died outside the gates of heaven. But you know what I think of this city got? She got her name on the first page of the New Testament. Actually, that's a bit of a thing. Here's your name on the first page. What is the first page of the New Testament? Well, if you don't know what plan, you look at it when you go home, because it's what I call the Book of Life. It's a generation.
The first generation that we get in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 5, is the generation of Adam. And you know what it said? And he died. And he died. And he died. And he died. And he died 8 times. Because the generation of Adam is a book of death. But the first page of the New Testament is the generation of Jesus Christ. And you don't read about a single death. You read about he begat. You know what Christ brought? He didn't bring us more death, he didn't bring us Christ. It's a new life. And in that genealogy of life, that book of life, the first page of the New Testament, the name of Ruth is shining. And then, what is Rahab? The second page. You want to tempt those ones out? You want to get those people out? They are only swine at them. No, no, you can't. The only thing that puts them on that page was the mighty grace of God. And the grace was put on there. Not even the devil. You see, you know what redemption does? It doesn't only take a member of a ruined race to put him or her in the line of conflict, but redemption takes a poor sinner whose name would have perished in the dust of oblivion. With a pen of crimson red, it writes that name on the lovely page of the book of life. My dear friend, my name tonight is in the book of life. You say, what's the book of life? Well, the book of life is a register of the people who have life, eternal life. When you say, how do you get eternal life? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the moment you put your trust in Christ on no degree, your name will undoubtedly be placed on the register of those who have eternal life. I don't mean this business of redemption, the big thing. Now, just before I close the meeting, I wanted to say maybe two other things very quickly. Sometimes people wonder, if I had to take this step, talking about your moving, and coming in to fall at the feet of the Redeemer. You say, now it's all right to take a step, but what about the future? So after all, as we will see in the future, right, this girl had left her whole home, her father and mother, the land that she was brought up with, all her connections, and she had moved across the River Jordan into a whole new set of connections. Where she knew practically nobody except her mother. There was all strange. They were strange to her, she was strange to them, and she took the poor widow. She was saying, before I drop her, it's a big step. Aye, it is a big step. She should be to the lost. She'll need the security of her own upbringing. And she has come every time, and she's just been attacked. You wouldn't know where she'll finish up. You know what the Redeemer said to her? And he said, don't you be worried about the future. He said, you see this step that you have taken? He said, I want to tell you what you've done. He says, you have come to a creature crushed under the wings of Jehovah. Oh, I can hear you say, oh, my God. You see, you need to tell me that when I have come over in amongst his people, that I'm under the shadow of the mighty wings of God, so that my protection and security is absolutely guaranteed. Listen to me, if you trust Christ, you're trusting a mighty Christ. And you can take a step. Take a step to me. And you can leave not only the future years of time, but you can leave the ages of eternity in his own. The Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. And I'm sitting here in front of quite a number who are saved. Some of them are saved 30 and 40, and maybe even up to 50 years. And if they were telling the truth, they would tell you when they took the step of faith, but they're just shaking up. But here then, the Lord who saved them then has kept them out. And his mighty wings provide a canopy that cannot be penetrated by any force on earth. It's been
And I have one thing to say, and then we stop. I'm switching way back now. You see all these great blessings in this year of God?
There was a day when she stood at the crossroads another year. If Ruth hadn't gone off, she'd have missed the whole
thing. The other girl cried,
and she went back.
Don't get her name in the first page of the New Testament. The other girl, the girl of Orpah, her name is never heard of it yet. She just goes back to her idols, goes back to her own darkness, and she just disappears. She was in the crossroads with Ruth.
And I know what it says about this girl, Ruth. It says she's a steadfast man.
Now, as we close this meeting in the next few seconds, I feel that it's very, very possible that we have somebody at the crossroads at some meeting. And the Lord has spoken to your soul.
And you have looked at the price that was paid on the cross. And the Savior will be waiting here then to give you the welcome that Ruth got, and you're required to take this step, and you're at the crossroads.
I trust before Almighty God that someone has made a step must be made. And you think you have to make this right? There's gold, the very gold of heaven, just within your reach. So you have to step on it. There's the very shadowy gloom of hell. Just behind you, you're standing at the crossroads of choice. I would say, like you have been impressed on, no sword is cosmic thee. For death and hell are on thy track. The arms of love are stretched for thee. And where she made the choice. And then where her mind was fixed. And then where she didn't wobble and waver and hesitate and time back. I give it, don't you be hesitating. In God's name, there's too much to lose. And there's too much to hear.
Say, God, you're no longer half the head of even half life.
I'm not going to hear it for such a reason. God has no need relevant. Heard the report about a great demon. Met her a demon.
Heaven's sake.
Got her a demon in the register.
Became linked with the royal God.
It all came to the mother of God. And she made one thing. So I hope you have a sin as well. It's very neat. And be another root. May there be another root in this one.
Our Father, we love you, Savior, precious name. Thank you again for the examples of thy word. We thank you for the encouragement for those who are seeking salvation. And we pray that some may follow the example of Ruth and avoid the sad story of Martha, and even the brought into my knowledge. We do commit ourselves to thee. We thank thee for those in the meeting who have known redeeming grace and keeping power, as we ask that others may have trust to share these blessings which we enjoy. We give our thanks for this time together and ask thy blessing upon thy word and individuals here in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.